Okay, fess up. When you first saw or heard that we were going to talk about investments, you first thought of gold. Gold, it's gold. I want gold bullion. I want gold coins. I want gold stocks. And I can even get exchange-traded mutual funds that invest in gold, or at least they say it's gold. It looks gold. It might be lead painted like gold. Folks, no. No, no, no. Gold has been a terrible investment. Silver, yeah, a little bit better. Actually, palladium, platinum, and rhodium recently have done pretty darn well. But precious metals are just not very good investments for the masses. If you need the precious metal because you're an electrician that uses gold and silver and maybe a few of the other exotic minerals in very specialized applications, or maybe you're a dentist and you still believe that gold is the best used, best material for teeth, although there are a whole lot cheaper alternatives. Or maybe you believe that the world economy is going to fall apart anytime soon. Go ahead, put your money there. But as Tom Petruno of the Los Angeles Times, he retired several years ago, but he was one of my favorite financial writers. If your reason for owning gold has something to do with the end of the world as we know it, shotguns and canned foods probably would be more practical investments. Look, folks, if you really do believe the whole thing is going to crash and burn and dissolve and there's going to be no food at the grocery station, no clothes at the mall, there's no gas at the gas station, the cell phones aren't working, the trash isn't being picked up, the sewers are backed up, and the hospitals, the schools, the banks, the fire departments, the police departments are all shuttered. Get out of the Northern Hemisphere! I got 4,000 rounds of ammo and plenty of food. Oh yeah? How many people can you kill? There's 50,000 people scouring for food. And 150,000 behind them, and 250,000 behind them, and you kill 2,000 or 3,000 people, and now you got an environmental disaster on your hands, because what are you going to do with the bodies? These survivalists, as they often call themselves, don't do the, sure, you could last for a couple weeks maybe, but no, if the whole thing falls apart, get out of the Northern Hemisphere. You know, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I certainly hope it doesn't, you know. We don't have a nuclear war. I hope we don't die in our own waste. Tsunami, earthquake, meteorite, disco returning. But it's always a possibility. And if you believe it's going to happen anytime soon, go ahead, buy these precious metals and get out of the Northern Hemisphere. But go learn to raise goats and grow sorghum and wheat. And good luck. Because by the way, what is gold useful for? Really, what is it useful for? Jewelry, yes, obviously, and it's beautiful. It's very cool. And it's one of the coolest elements. You can drop it in the ocean and come back 5 years later, it's still gold. But it really doesn't have that many uses. Silver, on the other hand, does, in industrial applications, have more usage. That's also a lot cheaper. But the biggest use of silver used to be film, which, you know, Kodak, you guys, you've heard the name, but you don't know who. Everywhere you went, no matter where store you were in, there's a little yellow boxes of film, but now we don't use film. These last three, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, actually are very useful for newer applications such as the catalytic converter in your car, and that's why they're being stolen. Great. Let's take a look at the growth of a dollar investment. Now, this is something we use in the very first chapter of Business 123, Introduction to Investments. And when somebody tells me they want to buy gold, I show them this. I say, look how well gold has done. Gold has barely kept up with inflation. Sometimes it's done a lot better. Sometimes it's done a lot worse. But look at stocks. 200 and some odd years, 220 years. The growth of our global economy, our standard of living has grown exponentially. You think of somebody coming from 1800 and looking at what the world is now, they would just be completely blown away. And that's why I want to invest in the businesses, stocks, that have made this possible, that have given us this wonderful. I mean, folks, if you don't believe me, go read an historical novel from the 1700s. The toilet wasn't invented until 18-something or 1860 or so. Read some historical novels from the Middle Ages. Or, yeah. And ladies, Monday was laundry day, and you literally worked your skin to the bones. The bonds have done okay, but not as good as stocks, not as well as stocks. And short-term investments like savings accounts have done better than inflation over the years, but not much. I like businesses. I don't like gold. But you know, everyone's different. How about precious gems? Do you actually know anybody who's actually sold a diamond? Sure, they buy them, but to actually sell them? No, they're not an investor's best friend. They ain't scarce, and there's nothing fabulous about them. They make diamonds now. And so as a business, it's actually a very great opportunity if you've got a lot of capital, because it's a very expensive proposition to build these machines. But they have these machines that basically mimic nature and do what, you know, the volcanoes and the other places around the world where diamonds were created naturally does. They pressurize and heat this carbon, which is what diamonds are. They're basically carbon into diamonds, and then they will sell them to you. So you're made out of carbon, and your kitty Fluffy, who passed away, and Uncle Tio Lucas, who just passed away, you can send some ashes to the company, and they'll turn around and send you a diamond, and you can have Fluffy on your wrist or your finger forever. Yeah, same thing is true for sapphires, rubies, and emeralds. They're not good investments. But you might like to collect them just because they're the beauty, and that's your decision and your money. But don't think you're going to get rich doing it, okay? How about rare coins, works of arts, antiques, stamps, rare books, sports memorabilia, antique cars, rugs, Chinese ceramics, painting, and other items that appeal to collectors and investors? Investing in collectibles. Look, it can be a good hobby and an investment or a financial disaster. And there's the wonderful story of the El Cajon Barbie guy who had supposedly $50,000 worth of Barbie dolls in a storage location on El Cajon Boulevard. And one weekend they disappeared. He got them back. Be careful of investment scams. Know the dealer's reputation. Shop around before you get suckered in to buy this thing that you think is going to be worth something, like a baseball card or something like that. And you know, Christopher Berge of Christie's Auction said it best. Don't buy art as an investment. There is some art that can make you very wealthy. In fact, some of these scam artists will tell you, we know the biggest investment alternative has made the most amount of money. It's fine art. Well, yes, but for a tiny little portion of the investment world. Tiny little portion of the investment world. In the 1980s, there was a rash of Dalí's, Salvador Dalí's, copycats, mimics, you know, just scams. They were just counterfeits. And a lot of people plunked down $20,000 for these things, thinking they were going to be worth a lot of money someday, and they're just a counterfeit. So my small investment in art, because I didn't buy it as an investment, I bought it because of what it did for me, you know, the joy and the wonder, has actually done pretty well. I bought something out of college a million years ago from a guy I thought was just really, really talented. This is back in Pennsylvania. And the last time I checked, it had gone from $20 to $500, and that was 20 years ago. So, hey. But I still have it hanging on the wall because I love it. And then I almost bought, I didn't do it, a John Lennon. This was after he had passed away, and they were selling a bunch of his art. And I really liked the piece, But I thought, no, yo, this is John Lennon. John Lennon made this. You know, the Beatles, right? Well, last time I checked, it had gone down in price. I was going to pay $1,800 for it, which at the time was a lot of money. Last time I saw it, it was selling for $900. If I had bought John Lennon's guitar, on the other hand, right? Yeah, now that guitar would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, you got to get it right. Another investment I only almost made was Chuck Jones. Do you know Chuck Jones? He was one of the artists who did the Looney Tunes for Warner Brothers. And he also did the Grinch. He did the original Grinch back, original Grinch with Boris Karloff as the narrator. And he came down to San Diego. He actually, this is a long time ago, and my son was still young. And I thought, they're still throwing ketchup around the house. I'm not going to buy this. I wish I had. Not because it might have become a lot worth a lot of money, because he was funny. He was really a funny guy. He goes, look, I'm going to die soon. I think he was in his 80s. And when I die, these things are going to be worth a whole lot more, so you might as well buy them now. You know, Bugs Bunny, the Roadrunner, that's him. He wasn't the only person. There was Friz Freleng, who also did the Pink Panther, and Tex Avery, who then moved over to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. So these are the gods of the animation world back in the mid-20th century. How about taxes? The maximum capital gains taxes on most all financial and real estate investments is currently 15%. The capital gains taxes on precious metals, art, and collectibles is 28%. Plus, precious metals, art, and collectibles are not allowed into an IRA or any other tax-qualified plan. Disclaimer, you can put Golden Eagle gold coins. I think that's the only thing that's allowed into an IRA. Golden Eagle. They're the ones that are created by the U.S. So no other coins. And I like the Canadian maple leaves. They're beautiful. And so are the Chinese pandas. They're beautiful. Check them out online, but don't buy them. You think the Congress is trying to tell you something? No, these are not good investments for the vast majority of us. Okay, folks? All right. Now, finally, the one that may be on many of your young folks' minds is cryptocurrencies. I call them kleptocurrencies. And non-fungible tokens, NFTs. Look, folks, this is what we call pure speculation. And you hear seasoned investors like Warren Buffett and his partner Charlie Munger saying horrible things about him, calling them rat poison and the like. Well, I don't think that helps the conversation. What I try to do is try to explain to people who are interested in these things is, look, you are gambling. You are literally gambling. They're even worse than gold and precious metals because they really have no practical application. There's nothing behind them at all. I mean, at least gold, you can use it in your teeth or on jewelry or something like that. And then, silver has a lot of industrial applications. And then the real exotic ones, palladium, rhodium, platinum. But cryptocurrencies, no. NFTs, no. Some guy spent $69 million for a graphic that is available on the internet. Why did he spend $69 million so he could say it's his, even though anybody can use it? I think it's down to, I don't know, like a few $100,000 now. I don't know. But the cool thing about cryptocurrencies is the technology, blockchain. That's very valuable. That will survive. They're working on it right now. I know a lot of countries around the world are working on digital currencies. So other parts of industry and business are going to be using this thing because it is pretty awesome. But the currencies themselves are worthless. They are pure speculation. And I think Stephen Colbert said it best. He said, it's gold for nerds. And maybe he understands it more than you would think he would, because, you know, he's an entertainer. But he's absolutely right. It's pure speculation. Somebody has to go out there and buy it for more than what you paid for it. Because other than that, it's not worth anything. We call it the greater fool theory. Somebody out there is a greater fool than I am. Ah, come on, Piano. What you got against cryptocurrencies? I'm sorry, cryptocurrencies, NFTs. You're just old, that's all. This is the future. We're all going to get rich, rich, rich. And I've had people tell me that. Not exactly those words, but basically those words. We're going to get rich, rich, rich. What's the matter with you? You're stupid. You don't understand what you're talking about. We're going to have Lamborghinis. This was a few years ago. Lamborghinis and galore. Right, sure, mister, sure, lady. A woman just told me how stupid I was, and I thought, okay, fine, sure. Rebuttal. First of all, as mentioned, you can't invest in a cryptocurrency. You can only speculate. The value is worth only what others believe it is worth. Cryptocurrencies don't pay any interest, dividends, rent. In other words, there's no cash flow. And more importantly, there's nothing backing the currency. There's nothing behind it other than an algorithm on a computer system, however sophisticated. But this is the response you'll get. But what about the fiat currencies? They use the term fiat currencies as some kind of pejorative, some kind of epithet. Huh? Aren't they the same? They are only worth something because we believe they are. Well, first of all, there's nothing more fiat. Fiat means from nothing, basically from just saying, I say this, and there it comes into existence. There's nothing more fiat than cryptocurrencies. It's just somebody somewhere with a computer system creating this currency. And when you try to say that the major currencies around the world, global currencies, are fiat currencies, are only worth what somebody's going to pay for them, then you really don't understand how currencies work. So not so fast. You will hear people say that our dollars or other fiat currencies are not backed by gold and therefore worthless. And this is total poppycock. These people don't have any idea what they're talking about. And by the way, what is gold worth? As we saw, gold also is an investment, is pure speculation. You buy it for a price and hope you can sell for more. Other than that, it ain't worth much. Our dollars are backed by our economy, the great American economic machine. Our dollars are backed by what the United States can produce and consume, what we call gross domestic product, which is kind of a silly name, but it means what do we create as an economy and what do we consume as an economy. You walk into any grocery store and you look around and now tell me that our dollars are worthless. Ha! And if you really do believe our dollars are worthless, here's a paper bag. Go to the bank, pull out all your dollars, give them to me. I'll take them off your hands. You don't have to worry about them anymore. The job of the Federal Reserve Bank is to make sure that there are enough dollars in circulation to match the production of our economy with the consumption of our economy. If there's too many dollars, you get inflation. If there's too few dollars, our economic output is stifled and opportunities for growth of our wealth are lost. Look, it's not an easy job. They screw up royally from time to time. Many people are jumping and screaming and hollering, saying that they're doing it bad now. Oh, yeah? I'd like to see how you do it, right? I'd like to see you do a better job. They have 300 economists on their payroll. They know more about the United States economy than anybody in the world. They're doing the best they can. They're humans. So how does this relate to cryptocurrency and how do you explain the success of Bitcoin? Well, there is absolutely nothing to stop other individuals or groups from starting their own cryptocurrencies. And that's exactly what's happening now. As of March 2023, there were approximately 23,000 cryptocurrencies. It's tulip bulb mania all over again. Eventually, the bottom falls out of each new one and some people get very rich and others lose a lot of money. Right. Now, a few of them are probably going to survive, like the Bitcoin originally and the ones that are hawked by people like Elon Musk. You got to go out and get a celebrity to hawk these things. And then all of a sudden people get really excited and go out and buy it, and then it disappears. They run away. Lots of hanky-panky going on with these things. But it's not over yet. Some are screaming, soon Bitcoin. We had a student in one of our classes. Oh, this was in 2021. And he said by the end of the year, it was going to be $100,000. He was only off by about 40. Soon Bitcoin will be worth 100,000 or even a million. There will only be so many Bitcoin and the price will skyrocket. Well, this is true. After a while, there are no more Bitcoins because they can only mine. They can only create so many using the computer algorithm. Again, if an item has no intrinsic value, it doesn't matter what the supply of them is. They still have no intrinsic value except for what other greater fools will pay for them. I wish the cryptocurrency fans much luck because they'll need it. However, as we mentioned, the blockchain technology is very cool, and eventually governments around the world will start creating digital currencies tied to their economies. Then those digital currencies will have some kind of intrinsic value that can be estimated, however poorly, and a value placed to them, just as we do with the Mexican peso and the Japanese yen and the United States dollar and the Canadian dollar and the euro, and they're traded that way. You know, we say, okay, we think the dollar is overvalued. Let's buy more pesos or whatever. Most likely, a few select cryptocurrencies will survive and start acting similarly to gold. Right? They'll start following the inflation, but except much more volatility as different celebrities hawk new cryptocurrencies. So stay tuned. And so folks, I'm not saying you shouldn't get involved. Go right ahead. It's your money. But have your eyes wide open. Realize that you are playing the greater fool theory. You are using the greater fool theory. Somewhere out there is a greater fool than I who will buy this item, whatever cryptocurrency it is, or whatever, NFT, whatever it is, for more than I paid for it. And realize that you're going to get burned eventually. Maybe not. You know, maybe you'll do it. You'll get out while the getting is good. Good luck. Okay, starting a business. The most profitable investment anyone can make is starting a business. It's also one of the most riskiest investments anyone can make. You've heard the statistics. 50% of businesses fail in the first year. 80% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. And 100% of businesses fail in the first 10,000 years. Look, the truth is that no one knows the failure rate of small businesses. Because no one, not even the IRS, knows how many small businesses there are. Another truth is that many small business owners often will fail two or three times or more until they succeed. It's built into their DNA. There's no way they're going to stop trying and trying until they succeed. And of course, this is how we have new technologies and new businesses and new, with the entrepreneurs. And they get rewarded they get rewarded for that, sometimes with billions of dollars. If you are so inclined, dear students, don't go it alone. There are tremendous resources available to you. We as a society want you to succeed. We want you to create new jobs, new products, upgrade our standard of living. This is what we want. This is capitalism. So check out these resources. SCORE. This is the Service Corps of Retired Executives. What a great group, folks. What a great group. You know, they'll sit you down. They'll say, what do you think you're doing? You're going to lose. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. And then people leave and they go, okay, let's get to work. But the people who are left, I just love them to death. Kiva is a way to actually ask for money. It's not the only one. And then Accessity, which used to be Axio in San Diego. They kind of disappeared for a while. I haven't seen them in a long time. I used to go to the things, but now they're back, called Accessity. So check them out. And then, of course, do not forget us, Southwestern Community College. We host the South San Diego Small Business Development Center, which is, you know, anything lower than, I think, is it I-8 or Kearny Mesa? I'm not sure. We're South San Diego, all the way out to Imperial Valleys. And then there's a North San Diego that's, I think, at MiraCosta, or I think it's housed at Palomar or MiraCosta. And so check them out. I haven't gone in a while since before the pandemic, but they have these wonderful seminars that you can join. And also think about it, folks. If you get involved, you'll probably see these. They also have seminars on franchising. Franchising gets a bad name, and some franchises like Subway treat their franchisees really badly. But others are very good to their franchisees because depending on how it's set up, they do well if you do well. And the thing about a franchise is you're not going to make as much money as if you had started the business from scratch, but you're also much more likely to be in business 5 years from when you start because the franchise company knows, you know, this is their business. They know what kind of pitfalls and they have alarms. One of the best companies is 7-Eleven. You're going to work your little fanny off, folks. But, oh my goodness, dude, they support you. So check it out. Check it out. And I've taken students to their seminars. Haven't gone in. Yeah, again, the pandemic kind of put a kibosh on everything, didn't it? I got to get started again. So if anybody's interested, you know, contact me. I'll go with you to their presentations. I love watching it. It's bizarre, right? I don't like to watch television, but I love to go to these things where people get excited about starting a business and it's life changing. It definitely is life changing. Starting a business is kind of like getting married, folks. It really is. And it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for everyone, but it is. It is the best way, the best investment, the ultimate investment. Investment scams. Okay, now this is something we talk about quite a bit in the 123 class, and you know that they're out there. I hope you know that they're out there. Have you ever seen ads like this? Start your real estate empire with no money down. You too can take advantage of the tremendous opportunities now in the wide open real estate foreclosure market. Just take our guaranteed surefire 3-day real estate investment seminar for only $2,995 that will pay for itself in just 1 month. You'll be on your way toward riches beyond your wildest dreams. Now, don't worry about burning that credit card, folks, because you're going to pay that credit card and all your credit cards off within a week, 2 weeks, a couple of... I think I could do well if I didn't have any ethics. These sharks are out there, folks. They're out there, and they will take your money, and they don't feel anything. They don't feel any bad, anything bad. Oh, if it sounds too good to be true, none of our students are ever going to be eaten alive by these sharks, right? Of course, right. You're the financial guru for your friends and family, and you know you can sniff a scam half a mile away. So the bottom lines on real estate and other investment alternatives. Buy a house, make it your home. It should reward you over the long term, both personally and financially. Learn the ropes regarding being a landlord. Strongly encourage you to work for a property manager or a real estate brokerage firm or a mortgage firm. Don't overextend yourself with too many properties. Stay away from precious metals, gems, art, and collectibles unless you absolutely love it as a hobby first. And cryptocurrencies, NFTs are scams. Tulip bulbs, yeah, avoid them like the plague. Dream, think, plan about what kind of business you would offer to the world. What do you have to offer to the world that people will pay for? Someday, yes, maybe. And that, dear students, is our discussion of investments. What do you think? Are you excited? I hope so. You got to be careful. I can talk about investments far longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. So if you're so inclined, contact me and we can talk about investments. And of course, we hope to see you in Business 123. Introduction to investments, because we want you to be rich. All right. The next chapter is our final chapter of Business 121, Principles of Money Management, where we discuss retirement planning and the final chapter of life, death. Well, we don't call it death planning. We call it estate planning. See ya.